I'm going to read from Psalm 144. Psalm 144. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people before me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. Let's pause there. Let's pray together. Psalm 144 continues, rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculpted in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s of our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Okay, let's pray before we look at the Bible. Heavenly Father, we do worship you. You are the King of Kings. You are a majestic God, if ever there was one. And yet, Lord, you are mindful of man. And you do speak to him. You speak to us. And now we pray that you'll speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to consider the final verse of Psalm 144. I think someone read from it last week. And that particular verse really stood out to me. And I thought, well, I'm going to look into it. And when I read it, I thought, yes, that's what I'll preach upon. In fact, it's really the second part of the final verse. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And the verse and our own experience makes it clear that not all people have the Lord as their God. It's been said before, but we human beings have been designed to worship something greater than ourselves. It's eternity has been put into the heart of man. And if we don't direct our worship and adoration at the God of heaven, we will find a substitute. We will make a God in our own image. We will worship money. We'll worship whatever. Often, of course, it means we'll worship self. So not all people have the Lord as their God, but those who do are a happy people. And I think I ought to just spend a moment considering that word happy. I don't think it refers to some flight of ecstasy or a good mood. Such things are based upon the external circumstance through which we go. So if, for example, in a week you have a pay rise, and you win a holiday, and you have no health complaints, and I don't know, you find that someone's going to take you out for dinner, all of those factors might combine to make you a happy person. But the following week, when the thrill of having the pay rise has worn off, when you've fallen out with somebody, when you're not feeling well, at that point, the happiness evaporates because it's based upon an external circumstance which is variable. When the Bible talks about happiness, and the word we usually use is joy, it's based upon the grace of God. And because the Lord never changes, and his grace never changes, and his care for us never changes, our joy never diminishes. That is biblical joy. It's based upon the Lord and our relationship with him. And that happiness, that joy, is something we have and something we keep. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Well, very briefly, let me look at some of the reasons the psalm gives for God's people being a happy people. Verse 1 sometimes causes some people to feel uncomfortable. Blessed be the Lord my rock, yep, we like that, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Well, those of us more inclined towards peaceful living or pacifism may not be very fond of the idea of our being trained for war. But let me put it this way. Whereas David was a real warrior who really did fight for the Lord's people, so we too wrestle, not of course against flesh and blood, but against all manner of evil, against principalities and powers, against false ideas and philosophies. And the Lord prepares each and every one of us for the battle, which is this life. This life is not easy. The Christian life is not easy, but thank God he trains your hands for war. Thank God he trains your fingers for battle. He supports us and he fights with us, but we don't sit idly by. This life is a life of service, which I said last week. This week, it's a life of battle. The second reason given is that not only are we on the front line fighting, but we also have a wonderful defense. Verse 2 says, my loving kindness and my fortress, my deliverer, my shield, my refuge. Do you ever feel like running away and hiding under the duvet? Well, let me tell you, the duvet might make you feel better for 5 or 10 minutes, but there is one in heaven in whom you can take refuge, who will shield you against the foe. He is a high tower. The enemy cannot reach up to you while you are in that high tower. So not only does he train us to fight, but he is the one in whom we can take refuge when the going is too tough. The third reason given is that despite our general insignificance, he cares about us incredibly. How many people are on the planet today? How many billions of lives are on this planet? Or perhaps you've considered the size of the galaxy or the universe. We really are tiny little dots on a very large sheet of paper. And yet, what does the psalm say? What is man that you have knowledge of him, that you are mindful of him? Though we are like a breath and a passing shadow, despite our insignificance, he cares about us. God is interested in your life. From your getting up and your going out, he numbers the hairs on your head. Peter says, cast your burdens upon him. Why? Because he cares. He cares for you. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord, because that God cares about them and defends them and trains them. And he's a God who rescues and delivers. In verse 7, stretch out your hands from above. Rescue me and deliver me from the great waters, from the hand of foreigners. It wasn't very long ago that we were battling with floods. Do you remember that? Yeah, we're at the moment we're all caught up with the corona pestilence, but we were being flooded. We thought that was the big battle of 2020 just a few months ago. Well, from the pestilence he will deliver, but also from the great waters, from the floods. Have you also noticed here the use of the word foreigner? In other words, nations who are opposed to the people of God. Well, they are the people who do not have the Lord as their God. And he will deliver us from them also. Not only does he rescue, but he saves. Christianity is primarily about salvation. It's not about making you a better person or making you feel good about yourself, but those things will happen. It's about being saved. The one who gives salvation to kings. David was a king. He's talking about himself. Who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly swords. He will save you from your own sin. He saves you from guilt. And he also saves you from the problems and difficulties of this life. The Lord's people are a happy people because he gives them an inheritance, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters as pillars sculptured in the style of the palace. In other words, that we have a legacy. Now, we know full well, and I think Roger's already referred to it, but I preached in this morning's sermon on Absalom. I don't know whether this psalm was written before or after the rebellion of Absalom, but some of David's children did not turn out very well. I don't want to over-spiritualize the text, but I cannot but think that the godly man and the godly woman has spiritual children who will grow up like plants and be as pillars. And I wonder, is there a young Christian or a young believer whom you can support? Is there an older, wiser Christian out there to whom you can turn and seek advice and strength and comfort, that you might be that daughter as a pillar, that you might be that son as a plant? Even those of us without physical children can claim the inheritance promised in verse 12. The Lord's people are a happy people because when they do things, there are lasting consequences. There are people we will meet in heaven who will be there because of things we have said, because of the gospel we have shared, because of encouragements we have given. The final reason is that the God described in this psalm is the provider God, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. Well, if we don't have to have physical children to enjoy the blessing of verse 12, neither do we have to be farmers to enjoy the benefits of verse 13. Quite frankly, I don't want lots of sheep right now. I've nowhere to put them. I certainly don't want 10,000 of them. I've just put plants in the garden. No, no, no. The promise here is that God will not only just provide for our needs, he will give us more besides. This is not some cheap gospel of prosperity. This is God's gracious provision. God will provide for you. He cares for you. He will train you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. And he will give you good things. Now, for some people, this lockdown is a time of, shall I say, financial pressure. Well, even those under financial pressure need not fear, need not fret, need not be troubled, because they who call the Lord their God will receive his bountiful provision. I think there are a number of reasons there why we can be happy. Not just an ephemeral happiness, a happiness that disappears like the morning dew. But a real, deep down, heartfelt joy that is with us even when the waters are deep and the fires are hot and the bills are big and the enemy strong. I say every one of us can repeat with David, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen.